Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, Mike.
It won't surprise any listener that elevated blood pressure is a major contributor to both heart disease and stroke. Correct measurement and the interpretation of blood pressure is essential to both management and diagnosis. Blood pressure is variable. We know throughout the day, varying with activity and the like. Daytime blood pressure, which is the time that most of us measure blood pressure in the office, can change hour to hour, minute to minute. It's affected by mental activity, physical activity, running up from the parking lot, stress, when medications are taken and the like. So we do need to pay somewhat close attention to the time of the measurement and the type of measurement device and the position and the cuff placement and the technique and the number of measurements, et cetera. But all of these may be important, but so is the size of the blood pressure cuff. Mark, you found an article that you're going to talk about this week. It was published in JAMA Internal Medicine in 2023. It starts on page 1061. It's a simple question that the article attempts to answer. To what extent does the wrong cuff size affect BP readings?
Yeah, so this is from Ishigami and colleagues, the effect of cuff sizes on accuracy of blood pressure readings. And they found 195 participants in the community, as well as in hypertension clinics. And the mean BMI was about 29, so little on the overweightish kind of side. Everybody underwent four sets of triplicate automated blood pressure measurements with cuffs that were first appropriately sized or too small or too large in random order. And then they also had a fourth set of triplicate measurements using an appropriate blood pressure cuff only to get the sort of gold standard blood pressure for that person. Cuff size was based on the mid-upper arm circumference. Interestingly, only 28% of participants in the sample were the right size for a regular cuff, and more than half required a large or even an extra large cuff. People who required a large cuff had systolic readings that were about 5 millimeters higher on average when a regular size cuff was used, when one that was too small. So too small readings are too high. Conversely, for those with small arms, they had a lower blood pressure with an average or for them too large of a cuff. So I think we've all had the experience of getting our blood pressure taken at a doctor's office or various clinical settings. And, you know, you're supposed to have your feet resting, quiet room, waiting a few minutes. And that almost never happens. I had one doctor that did it right. But pretty much everyone else just, you know, you run in, you're maybe a little out of breath, and then they slap the blood pressure cuff on you. This study found that using a regular cuff on the very common larger than average arms we have in this country can falsely elevate blood pressure readings by almost 5 millimeters, which could, you know, maybe make some difference in terms of your treatment decisions or, you know, upping blood pressure medications or even starting blood pressure medications. So have those cuffs, train staff to know what to look for, to measure, and to use an appropriate size cuff.
You know, I suspect that one of the barriers for staff is finding the damn cuff. I mean, you know, it's got the regular cuff on it. And if someone comes in with a need for a large or an extra large, it's trying to figure out where you put it or where it was left, or was it on some other machine in another room? And it just takes those extra minutes, and perhaps that's a barrier. You know, you say it could be 5 millimeters difference, but I'm wondering how often it really is clinically significant. Is it worth really going and looking for that extra cuff?
That 5 millimeters was an average, so it's going to be half the time a bigger than 5 millimeters difference. So there will be times. Makes me think, you know, since 55% of people required a large or extra large cuff, maybe that should be the default, right? And we should have to go looking for a regular cuff.
Exactly.
Or maybe just keep a regular and a large in each treatment room. Not that hard.
Excellent suggestion, Mark. We'll talk with you again in a week.
All right.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.